Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Big Ticket, Variety and iHeart's movie podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. This week, I've got Joel Kinnaman. You already know Joel from The Killing and House of Cards, but now he is the star of Apple TV's NASA drama series, For All Mankind. Joel stopped by the Big Ticket to talk about suiting up as an astronaut, the sequel to Suicide Squad, and what happened when his good friend, Rob Pattinson, was cast as the new Batman. That's all coming up after the break. Stick around. And now we're back with Joel Kinnaman. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Mr. Kinnaman.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
So it's so new. So when your agent calls and says they want you to whatever for Apple TV Plus, are you like, what? I'm confused.
Well, I mean, I'd heard like rumors that Apple were, you know, gearing up to start their own platform for a while. And of course, that was a definite draw. But I mean, what really drew me in was the actual project that Ron Moore, Ben, and Matt had created. I thought it was like really original. And
tell us about For All Mankind for people who don't know out there.
Yeah, so it originated with Ron discussing with a friend, you know, the idea of maybe doing a sort of Mad Men-ish show in NASA environment. Mm-hmm. But then they started discussing about, you know, the space race kind of, it was pretty much a sad story. You know, we got to the moon, but then after that, it just, you know, people lost interest and NASA got defunded and sort of the whole promise of space exploration didn't get fulfilled. Right. So then they came up with this other idea. And like, what would have had to happen for the space race to continue? And so they came up with this show where it actually starts with the Soviets beating us to the moon. And by losing the space race, it continues.
And right, because we want to go bigger and better than the
exactly.
moon.
And, you know, the American spirit will prevail some way. And it creates this, like, really original story that, you know, it's just... I'm amazed what they've created, and now we were, I mean, I don't know if I'm supposed
season
to say this,
two
but,
has been
but yeah,
yes,
so we're gearing up for shooting the second season, and wow. it's just they've done an incredible job with it, and it's just been such a pleasure shooting it. So I don't think I've been this excited to show something that I've done to people yet. Yeah.
So like every little kid's dream is to be an astronaut, and you get to put on the astronaut suit.
Yeah.
What was that like, putting that on for the first time?
Well, it's a lot more fun as an idea than to actually do it. Because I've worn a couple of uncomfortable suits in my day. And let me tell you, this astronaut suit is a nightmare. It's incredibly uncomfortable.
Really?
It's brutal. It got a little better like over the course of the season. We did some tweaks. But in the beginning, I think it was also the suits weren't made for, you know, 6'3" Swedes. You know, you were actually, I think you weren't.
The Swedes weren't in the space race?
No. I think you weren't, you couldn't be more than like 5'10", actually, to be an astronaut.
Oh, wow.
So that's why everything, I'm always on my knees doing stuff there. But yeah, it's incredibly uncomfortable. And then they have this, like, there's this pipe in the back that, because you have this backpack on.
Right.
And then, but, it's, so this backpack is weighs like 30 pounds because there's a big fan inside there. And it's pressing against your back, but then you have this big pipe in the back. We called it the elephant dick. And the elephant dick was not fun. I wanted to cut it off.
You wanted to cut off the elephant dick.
But yeah, so we were sweating and those. And sometimes the fans stop working. And, you know, you have your head in this fishbowl. And all of a sudden, it goes pretty quick if we get lightheaded. And I remember the guy who plays Armstrong. Like, we were shooting the first day, and he was, like, sweating, and it was like, and he was basically having a panic attack, and I was like, come on, it's like, what a wuss. And then we realized his fan wasn't on, so he was not getting any air. He was literally getting suffocated in there. It was the first day we were wearing these
suits. First day.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I was thinking to myself, actors, you know, whining.
Did you have to do any, like, zero gravity work, the vomit comet?
Sorry. I love chewing ice. No, I was like, I was watching images from that Vomit Comet. That looked incredible. But no, we didn't do that. It was very analog, the whole zero G, how we portrayed that. But it works. It really works.
So there's in one point, I think it's the first episode, maybe it's the second episode. Someone's giving a pep talk at NASA, saying, you know, the Russians got there, but we're gonna get there.
Yeah,
we're gonna go to Mars. We're gonna go to Saturn. We're gonna go beyond.
Yeah.
And then we're going to answer questions. Is there life? Are we the only ones here?
Yeah.
So the big question, do you think we're the only ones here?
I mean, I definitely thought so. And then I saw Ad Astra. And then and then I was like, maybe we are alone. No, but I definitely think that we're not alone.
It's pretty arrogant for us to think we are alone.
Yeah, I don't think so. But, you know... But for something to exist at the same time that we're here, you know, that I think is a, you know, small chance to. But I mean, just understanding how, I mean, it's hard to wrap your head around infinity.
Right.
But if it is infinite, then there would be infinite realities.
Right. The series also is touching on some strong issues. Women's rights, women's role in the workplace. You see these women working at NASA. Yeah. Being treated like they treated women back in those days.
Yeah.
But there also, there's an immigration storyline. Explain that.
Yeah, I think what I love with this show is that there's so many times where I felt that it would have been so easy to pander to the important questions of today. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people that are trying to tell stories about things that are very relevant today and things that should be very relevant, but they do it in a storytelling way where it just feels on the nose.
Right.
So that's something that I felt really good about. It's like, you know, they bring these issues up, but they bring them up from the perspective of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is like late 60s, early 70s. And there is a whole aspect of this show that with this alternate timeline that has been created,
mm-hmm.
it also creates this world where we're in some ways we're governed by our better angels.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this sort of optimism around the show. There's a lot of like very heavy stuff that happens. It's some heavy drama and mm-hmm. tragedy that goes on in the show, but the world is sort of guided by our better angels in a way.
Mm.
And so progress starts to happen more quickly, and both in terms of like women's movements, race relations, and but it's described in a way that doesn't feel like on the nose or with an agenda. But it's just the trajectory of society moving in that direction just started picking up its pace much sooner.
Now we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Joel discusses how director James Gunn is changing the Suicide Squad franchise. Plus, what happened when his friend Rob Pattinson was cast as Batman? And get this, Joel is a huge Succession fan. All that and more after the break. We're back with Joel Kinnaman. Okay, we got to talk about Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
How's it going?
The Suicide Squad.
How's it going?
It's going really well.
Yeah?
It's going really well, yeah.
It's, new director, James Gunn.
Yeah. James Gunn is an incredible guy, and he's written a fantastic script. It's mm-hmm. so funny. And
is it more like a Guardians of the Galaxy now?
It feels like the Suicide Squad. You know, it's just funny. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really funny. And I feel like I'm in the first... I'm like shooting my first comedy. That's what it feels like.
Oh, that's
awesome.
There's
a lot of really funny people there, and the script is really funny. So to me, it's like a learning experience. I'm just, I'm around a lot of incredible, funny people. And it's also a project where, like, as an actor, you sort of become a student of leadership in a way, mm-hmm. because you're in so many different projects, and you can really see how leadership affects people so differently. And this is, you know, James is just such a, you know, he's a warm, kind person that is also very clear in his vision. So it just makes for a very harmonious work environment. And yeah, it's like people are loose, you know, feel good, and they're not afraid to make mistakes. And so people are playing.
Were you afraid on the first Suicide Squad?
No. I'm not saying this in comparison to the first one. Yeah. It's just in general, it's like this is a really good experience.
Right. Yeah. So you all went to go see The Joker the other night.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah?
I thought it was fantastic.
Did you feel like you were cheating on Jared Leto, though?
No.
You're not getting pig heads and bullets and everything else he was sending?
No. I mean, Joaquin just crushed it. Wow. I mean, what? He's incredible. He's such an actor. It's surprising to see that kind of a performance in something that's has like a DC wrapper around it, you know, because it's a real art film.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a sister that's schizophrenic, and you know, I've drawn on some of her sort of behavioral things and things that I've done earlier.
Wow.
And yeah, I was really struck by how accurate his...
You see it in a whole different...
Yeah, his performance was outstanding. I think he's really one of the best of all time.
Do you think we'll see him in Suicide Squad?
I mean, that would be incredible. I doubt it.
You know, but then there's...
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. We have I have some insight into how he operates, and that would be fun.
And then, of course, there's a new Batman.
Oh yeah,
will
that's
Rob
right.
Pattinson yeah. be showing up in the yeah. Suicide Squad sequel?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so impressed with Rob's journey. I've known him, been friends with him for quite a long time, and you know, he came out here and became like super famous,
crazy
doing
famous.
These vampire films, and you know, had any he had all the opportunity to do any kind of, you know, superhero comic book, anything commercial, they would throw it at him. And he just turned down to almost everything, and you know, spent 7-8 years just doing like obscure films with interesting directors,
right.
films that very few people saw. But he was going to film school,
mm-hmm.
And now he's like just lining up beautiful performance after
Batman.
The next, and now he's taking on Batman, and I think that's so smart, you know, because now he's ready to do that.
Right.
Now he can. Now he can do his own thing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if he tried to do something like that maybe 5 years ago, then it would have been something that someone else just put on him.
Right.
Someone just threw a suit on him. But now he's going to do something. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to what Rob Pattinson is going to do with his Batman. You know,
he has to be in Suicide Squad. That's how they can introduce him.
Yes. That'd be fantastic.
And then Catwoman. Zoe Kravitz, they just announced yesterday. Yeah, so that's another series.
Cool.
Another person who's in your world.
Awesome.
So do you text Rob when he gets Batman and be like, welcome to DC?
I did text him, actually. He didn't hit me back, though. What the fuck? Yeah, he's gotten too big. He doesn't text me back anymore.
Obviously, these superhero movies are, you know, bigger than ever, whether it's Marvel or DC. But then you have someone like Martin Scorsese, who recently has said he's not a fan of them.
Yeah.
And he doesn't believe they're real cinema. What do you have to say to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. He can say that if he wants. You know, that's fine. Like, Martin Scorsese will always be one of the greatest directors of all time, and he meant more to cinema than the most, so he's entitled to that opinion, you know. And, you know, who knows what's right.
So what's the one movie you could watch over and over again and you never get bored?
I mean, Goodfellas has been one of those kind of films that I just, you know, that I see over and over again. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to be one of those that I'm going to see many times. I love that movie.
What did you love about it?
It was just great to see something that was so personal and something that didn't follow, you know, every, you know, formulaic beat.
Right.
You know, there's so many films that are just pushed to have a certain pace, to move forward and not to meander. But sometimes the little meander is the personality
right.
of the film. And if you cut that out, then everything just becomes, you know, like something that was out a week ago.
Right.
And so I thought it was a beautiful film.
What else are you liking this year?
I saw Ad Astra mm-hmm. that I also absolutely loved. Right. I loved it. I think it might be Brad Pitt's best performance.
Wow.
I thought it was, that Apocalypse Now feel to it, just descending into darkness. And that is some, that is some abandonment issues. Like when your dad goes to Neptune to leave you.
What other films this year?
I've been obsessing over Succession.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the first show I've binged in a long time.
So which Roy are you?
I don't know, but all of them. Cox. I mean, like the mother, I shouldn't spoil it to people.
You go talk. They should see it already.
Yeah, when he just like sits down and he's like so broken down and he just needs his mother and he's like, I need to talk. And she's like, how about we talk in the morning over an egg? Like, oh, those are his parents. Like, no wonder. Yeah, they're so deliciously horrible, all of them.
Yeah, and it's been like this sort of slow burn too.
Yeah,
because all
Alan
of us...
Ruck's character is so good too. Buffoon. Like, what an idiot. Yeah, Alan plays him so well.
So you said you binged it.
Yeah, I did. I watched all the episodes that are out in 2.5 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the best, isn't
yeah.
it? But then it's over, and you're like, but I want more.
Yeah,
I want
but
more.
It's, yeah, it's okay.
you're part of that world now.
Yeah.
Awesome. Joel Kinnaman, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you.
That was Joel Kinnaman, and that's it for this week's episode of The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Coming up next week, my sit-down with Robert Pattinson. Find out what he's saying about the Oscar buzz surrounding his work in the new indie, The Lighthouse. Thanks so much for listening to The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. See you next week. And don't forget, follow me on Twitter and Instagram @MarkMalkin.